Opening God's holy word with reverence and joy. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Driven life. We live by faith in the promises of God. The problem is that as we go on with life, it seems that nothing of what God has promised us is coming to pass. Think about it. We are made wonderful promises of heaven, glory, strength, the Lord's presence. And yet the reality of our struggle is often fear, anxiety, disillusionment, discouragement, and we wonder if what God has said in His Word is really coming to pass. If you've ever had this struggle, well, this is the program for you today. We're going to look at the life of Abraham and see how Abraham struggled with the promises of God too. And yet, by the end of it, Abraham looked by faith, as the New Testament says, was unwavering in faith, in trusting what God said. And in that way, he becomes the father of us all. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org. agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Do please write to us. And if you can help us, all of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to the continent of Africa, to the U.S. and Canada. You can support us right online at agradio.org. Here is now part one of the promise driven life from Genesis chapter 12. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. You know, the New Testament calls him the father of the faith. We're supposed to take Abraham and learn from him. We're supposed to study him. We're supposed to understand the life of Abraham. But what particularly does the Lord want us to know? What is he teaching us in this glorious life of Abraham? We see the central truth here that God is calling Abraham to trust him, to believe the promises. It's all about the promises that God makes. And I think sometimes we stand back from that and we say, oh, the promises. What are the promises? And why is it so important to live by the promises? What does that really do for us? We've heard this all our life. And the reason we struggle when we say, just believe the promises, is because that's no easy thing. There's nothing easy about that. I'm going to tell you this morning to believe. Maybe the Lord in His providence brought unbelievers in here who really have not yet believed. I'm going to tell all of you this morning in this sermon to believe in an unseen God who's made all these wonderful promises to you of nothing that, at least in terms of the future promises of glory, you have any eye to see. You've never seen the glory. I'm going to tell you to live by these promises when in life, actually, the experiences of life seem to militate against the promises of God, seem to challenge the promises of God, seem to call into question whether God even really exists. And this is why studying the life of Abraham is so important. He being called Abraham, our forefather. What did he learn according to the faith? He teaches us everything about our struggle to live by the promises of God. And yet, even when through it all, he is in the middle of doubt, in the middle of distress, and often in the middle of failure, God will not let him go. And that's what's so beautiful about this. This was given before the law was given on Sinai. 400 years earlier to teach us something about grace so we'd understand it. Well, that's what we're going to do here briefly this morning. Before he could do that, Abraham had to learn who God was. It's the two great questions of life, the bigger questions of life. You have to answer the questions of who God is and who am I. Everything hinged on this first great promise that God made after the fall. Remember, after the fall, the Lord, instead of bringing judgment on his people, he made a promise to his people. He made a promise to his people of a champion. Judgment fell on the wicked, but he made a promise to his people that a champion would come, a savior would come. And what we see as we come to chapter 12 is the Lord zeroing in on one man, calling him out and showing us how that promise would develop, what that promise was, how it would show itself in time for God's people, and teaching us so much of how the Lord wants us to live by that promise. And that's where we come in chapter 12 at verse 1, where we read right at the beginning, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And he says, "I will make you a great nation." It's really a remarkable call, isn't it? "I want you, Abram, to drop everything. I want you to leave behind everything. I want you to leave your land. I want you to leave your country. And I want you to come to a country that I have for you. Come to me." The remarkable thing about the call, I can't get over as I study this again, is who is the Lord to Abraham? Where do we have any indication that Abraham had an intimate knowledge of the Lord? Abraham had a lot more knowledge of the moon god that his dad worshipped, Terah. And here comes this call, seemingly out of nowhere, which is the real force of the text, the impact of the text, is God forcefully called him. "You come. You are to leave your family," notice that, "your kindred, you are to leave your home," and you notice there that the aspects of the call, you are to come, leave all, and then come. It doesn't make it any easier that Ur was not like living in a place like Hemet or something like that. It was beautiful. It was luxurious. They've dug up all kinds of things, and they dug up a queen whose body was wrapped in pure gold. This was one place to live. And here this call comes, and the Lord is calling him to completely separate out to him. "Leave your father, leave your mother, leave your brothers, leave your sisters, all of them, and you come to me. I want a complete separation from your past." Conditions, of course, aren't right. What conditions are right when you get a call like this? Leave my dad's place of prosperity, wealth, a future, at least here, and go to a place of where, what is my future? What is certain about that? I can at least see dad's prosperity, but to go here, where is it? Where am I going? Where's economic security? Where is it? I want you leaving. You come to an unknown God, to an unknown land, with an unseen future. All you can say at this point in Genesis chapter 12 is, that's madness. The whole thing is unreasonable. Who would do that? You begin to think about this, and if you start to put it in Christian categories and you understand the distinctly Christian message, then you understand this is actually very similar to what I've experienced with the Lord. It's not so far off, is it? Think about your existence under the sun. Think about it. Most of you have been baptized as probably infants. None of you put up your hand at that time and said, "Me," right? Not one of you asked for that. Now, someone might come along and say, "Well, that's part of the problem. I should have been able to ask for that." But that's not how the Bible looks at it. The Bible looks at it as, from the beginning, God put a call on your life. Is that a bad thing or a good thing? We read the baptism form. I mean, three of our young people stood up and professed faith. And it is distinct in there, an absolute biblical truth, that we are to always teach our children that they have been set apart by who? The Lord. A claim was placed on them. And then when we go through and we train our children to believe this, you believe this, you believe this. I don't see God. I don't see him. Where is he? Where am I going? What am I doing? What does it mean to come? Much of the time, if we're going to be honest, none of this makes a lot of sense. Where are we going? Right? Where are we going? Where's God? Is this it? Is this what I'm supposed to do right here, right now? For many of you, at this point in life, this is all you have right now. Come. Follow. Follow what? Come. Follow. Go to a land that I will show you. Here we are. I found my favorite Calvin quote probably on this. Maybe ever. I command you, this is Calvin, to go forth with closed eyes until having renounced your country, you have given yourself wholly to me. Wow. Close your eyes. Come. Give yourself to me. So I don't get it. Come. Leave my land. Leave my country. Leave the U.S. Until I've given myself to you, Lord, completely. I don't even know who I am. Right? This is the challenge of the text. This is the heart of the text. What makes it worse is that when I read those calls of Jesus earlier, did that seem easy to you? Did any of that make sense to you? Listen to it again. If anyone would come after me, he's God. Let him deny himself, let him take up his cross, and let him follow. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, right? How's about this one? We'll save it. And he goes on. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That is not the nice Jesus that is often preached today, is it? It's perplexing. And Jesus said to another, follow me. It was obviously perplexing for others because they didn't do it, did they? He said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. You go preach. Huh? Who does that? Another said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell at my house. Jesus said to them, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What do you do with that? Here we are. Come. 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 Leave your past and come to me. This is where the Bible sometimes we feel is disconnected from us. I don't know what that means. I don't get it. I still don't get it. I'm 41. With regard to Abram, I want to encourage you. He didn't get it either. And he's 75, by the way. Did you know that? Now, you study the life of Abram. When did God call him? I want you to listen to Acts 7 just for a minute and see that that Stephen's record of this is a little bit different. Listen to this. Then Stephen said, brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abram when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran and said to him, go out of your land and from your kindred and go to the land that I will show you. Then he went out from the land out of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. Whoa, that's where we are now, Genesis 12, Haran. And after his dad died, God removed him from there into this land in which you're now living. So put it together. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and what did he do? He takes dad with him. Leave your kindred, dad comes, and they stop at Haran, another spot of the moon god. And they don't get up until dad dies. Sounds a little bit like Jesus. No. Let me first go bury my father. No, you come now. So if you look down at verse 4 of chapter 12, he packs up and goes from Haran. So that is not what God said. This is not Canaan. So the call in chapter 12 is Haran, but because verse 4 tells us that after this call, he leaves from Haran. So he hears the call, he takes dad, he stops. Terah dies. Here's the only conclusion I can draw. Abraham is really struggling with this. He's struggling with following. Here's where we're called, I think, to look at the real truth about life and be honest with us as believers. Survey Abram's life. Start, stop. Start, stop. Start back. I'll show you that in a minute. Most of us have a very difficult time living by faith in the promise. That's why we're here. If you forward here to chapter 15, you see it even stronger in Abram. You'll notice there that the Lord comes to a very discouraged Abraham, and he says to him after these things, Genesis 15:1, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great. The Lord recognized that Abraham is living by a lot of fear, anxiety. He's struggling. He seems to have no place in this world. God has uprooted him. He has no home. But it's not just that. God has made promises to him of land and seed, of the two promises of the covenant of grace, we call it. The two promises are an inheritance, land, glory, and seed, a people that is brought about by a savior, a champion. Here he is. He's in a tent. God had promised him that his descendants would be as the sand of the seashore and the stars of heaven. And he still has no son. All that Abram's known from the call, and I'm moving fast here through time, we're looking at an overlap here of years, 10 to 15 years. He has known nothing but famine, hardship, trial, pain, and he's taken nothing for himself yet. What is this? Who am I really following? Did I go through all this for nothing to live in a tent? Well, this is where I think as we look at the story of Abram, we see what the Bible is teaching us about him being the father of faith. You say, God has given us the same kind of call, follow, believe the gospel. It's one thing to just intellectually accept it. But it's quite another thing to really follow when my experience seems to prove that none of this is true. Or that I'm going forward with what God said, but I still have little identity. I'm not really seeing a lot of success in life, and life is not getting any easier. Our faith comes with some pretty awesome promises, doesn't it? Our faith comes with some radically wonderful promises. Heaven, glory, a Savior, communion with God. And right now, it seems to be little. Like Abraham, fear is real. Struggle is real. We often feel vulnerable. We've been following Christ for years. I don't know how many sermons, if you ever counted, you've listened to in this church. And really, you could be here at 75 today and still struggling with, I don't seem to have much to show for it. And then we have the big problem. You know what it is? Sin. We're not doing real well with it like we want to. I know I shouldn't be doing some of the things that I do, right? Paul said. But I do them. How does that prove strength from God? Am I a believer? By chapter 15, I really believe you have a man ready to give up. His struggle is real, and the Spirit has inspired it for you to see. But the struggle then being, if I can see nothing, I see nothing of your promise happening, how in the world am I to go forward? In other words, you've said this, but none of it seems to be proven true. And what are his choices? At the beginning of chapter 12, I want you to just listen to Abraham's choices since this whole thing started in three chapters. And actually, when you cover to chapter by chapter 20, the man is a thorough mess. By all accounts, he's a mess. He gets to the promised land in chapter 12, and guess what he does? Because of famine, he leaves it. And he goes down to Egypt, dumps off his wife to Pharaoh. So in one scene, he has thrown away the whole Abrahamic covenant. He threw away land and he threw away seed. See it? One scene. Dumps his wife into another man's arms. Well, you know what God did for him, right? Come back to that. But by this chapter 15, the Lord makes the covenant of grace. By chapter 16, after he's made all this promise, he goes out and says, forget this, I'm going to do it with another woman to get the seed. No elder would want to deal with that mess. Trust me. He has a difficult time leaving family. He has a difficult time trusting God for deliverance. He's taking everything into his own hands. He's discouraged, at times probably feels faithless, and fights to go back to Egypt. Well, whose story is that? Well, it's Israel's, and it's ours. What do we do with Abraham? Well, we try to look at Romans 4 that says he was unwavering in the promises and faith and clean them up. That's what we try to do. We try to clean the guy up, right? Because of that statement. Without realizing that Romans 4 says God justifies the wicked and he's talking about Abe. What's the message? Well, how many of you have made a profession of faith? We had three of them today. How many of you have slipped back into sexual immorality? How many of you have lived doubting the promises? How many of you, truth be told, looking at our lives, are trying to do it ourselves? How many of you still, if it got to your deathbed, would wonder if you've done enough? God is pretty absent at times from our pursuits in this life, isn't he? We're doing the same thing. In both cases, Genesis 12, Genesis 15, start, stop, start, stop. The text is driving us to ask the question, what does God do? Well, I know what I would do with this guy, right? Church discipline time. Get with the program, man. You're just, knock it off, right? We can analyze people to a T. We got all their disorders we can point out in them, right? What kind of disorders does this guy have? I'm at least calling Abraham a narcissist at this point. What does God do? Get angry? See, Paul looks at this whole phenomenon before the giving of the law and says, you should study it because it's teaching you something about the grace of God. We have a lot of great people who can analyze our lives and tell us all the problems. It's really hard to see our own problems. God gives the call. Abram fails. You fail. And at this point, everyone gets nervous. Pastors get nervous. Pastor, you keep preaching like this, you're going to create antinomians. We'll see. We'll see. Look at verse 2 of chapter 12. He gets up. He starts, stops. Leave, Abram. Here's what I'm doing. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What did he do? Oh, he just made seven promises. Count them. Number of perfection. He just starts unloading the promises on the man. I'm going to do this. I'm giving you the land. I'm going to make you a great nation. Land, seed, land, inheritance, Jesus, people. I'm going to bless you. Now look back at chapter 15 one more time. The Lord comes to Abram and says in chapter 15, after he's discouraged, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield and your reward shall be very great. It's an amazing moment. I, Abram, am going to shield you. And I think the translation is better said, I am your shield and your reward is very great. I am this for you. I'm putting my presence around you. I'm going with you. I'm going to be with you. I love you. I'm keeping you. Are you confused? Are you discouraged? Is this word hard for you? I'm declaring to you right now, all of your fears are for nothing because I'm with you in the covenant of grace. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what Jesus said. I'm your refuge and your strength. You think you've lost something in following me? I've given you me. Let me tell you the truth of the matter. You're really afraid. You're really doubting. I am yours.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.